The following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Welcome to the official Infernal Legion podcast. I'm your host, Reverend Jeff Bowling, the commander of the Infernal Legion, and this is a Sinister Scuttlebutt episode for the month of March, year 59, Anno Satanas. Joining me, as always, is my lovable and furry co-host, Reverend Dwayne Burns, the VSO of the Infernal Legion. Dwayne, how the hell are you, brother?
I'm doing good.
He says in the most unconvincing manner ever.
Oh.
There he is in his native tongue, Wookiee.
And you heard him, folks, in the third chair. We've got Warlock Rick Kohlmeyer, the Vice Commander of the Infernal Legion. Rick, how the hell are you, brother?
Tired, enjoying a day off, finally.
This is what you do on your day off.
Why not? It's one of the easiest things I do each week or each month.
So it's been a minute since everyone heard from us. Anything you guys want to fill in? Anything going on? Any exciting news?
I've honestly just been working my butt off the last 2 weeks, so I can tell you about work.
I've been just getting my health care back in order.
Yeah. How's your shoulder doing?
Still only have about 30% movement in it, or 30% range of motion in it.
Are you doing PT or anything?
I ran into a problem with my legs. I'm having some issues with my legs. And because of those issues, they're not allowing me to do the other PT until I get this under control.
Man, getting old is wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, you know it.
All that good time off being sick.
Well, as I mentioned, this is a Sinister Scuttlebutt episode. A little bit later on in the show, we'll have Magister Adam Campbell join us with the latest installment of The Tower. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about something I don't think we've ever actually brought up on this show before. And the reason I want to talk about it is because the Infernal Legion Twitter page recently had an interaction with someone who claimed that the army values were incompatible with the philosophy of Satanism. And I thought to myself, well, maybe we should tackle that on the show. So, Rick, I know you're Navy, but I'm sure these values are similar to what the Navy espouses. So let's jump into it.
The Army has values?
The Army values are laid out in an acronym that spells LEADERSHIP. Stand for loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. So I thought, let's go through these one by one. Are they compatible with Satanism? Are they not? How do we apply them? How do we get around them if they're not compatible being Satanists who served? Let's start with loyalty.
This episode is brought to you by Duffelblog. Read in the Pentagon and around the world, since 2012, Duffelblog has been the most trusted news source for the American military. Duffelblog is the first and only satire newsletter devoted to the United States military community. Visit Duffelblog.com for more information.
Loyalty is defined under the Army values as bearing true faith and allegiance to the United States Constitution, the Army, your unit, and other soldiers. What do you guys think? I don't think that there's anything in there that's incompatible with Satanism.
Not a thing. Uphold the laws. And the same Satanism, uphold the laws.
Right. You know, and a recurring theme throughout this discussion is going to be responsibility to the responsible. We are fortunate enough to live in a nation that has an all-volunteer force. So you are signing the dotted line when you enlist or get your commission, and you're essentially volunteering to take on these responsibilities. Part of these responsibilities are the values. So even if you don't have the desire to bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution, the Army, your unit, and other soldiers, once you sign on that dotted line, you're taking the responsibility to bear that true faith and allegiance. So I don't think there's anything unsatanic about following through with that.
No, that one's, it's a simple one.
And Dwayne, you were in the Army, you spent 20 years in the Army. Did you ever have a problem reconciling loyalty with Satanism?
No.
I'm going to guess that because I just mentioned responsibility to the responsible, the next one is a no-brainer either. Duty. Duty is defined under the Army values as fulfill your obligations. That's pretty straightforward, right?
Yep.
Responsibility to the responsible, fulfill your obligations. I just talked about that. Even if you don't feel loyalty towards these things, you have to express loyalty for these things because you took on yourself. You took that duty upon yourself. Any thoughts on duty, gentlemen?
You said duty.
I was waiting for someone to take advantage of that.
Well, you threw it out there enough times, I knew you were asking for it.
Now, I will fully admit there are times, once you've been in the Army for a while, and I'm sure the Navy is the same way, Rick, once you've been in the service for a while, there are times where you may be given a tasking that maybe you don't feel 100% right about. Maybe it's something that you mildly disagree with or whatever. And so I understand that there can be a push-pull in your brain over whether or not to take another option. But the satanic answer to that always is, again, like I said, you signed on the dotted line. You have a duty to fulfill your obligations. Get to work.
Yep.
Now, the next one is one. There's two on here that I could see where someone from the outside looking in may see these as incompatible with Satanism. But I still think that they are compatible with satanic philosophy, and I'll explain why as we get into them. So number three is respect. Before I get into the Army value definition of respect, which I love the way they worded it, we Satanists believe that respect, to quote a colloquialism, is earned, not given. You respect those who are deserving of your respect. Mm-hmm. Is that compatible with the Army value sense of respect? Well, let's look at their definition. The Army defines respect as treating people as they should be treated. Now, many people think of respect and they think of the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's not what the Army says. The Army says treat people as they should be treated. I think that the way the Army worded it erases all doubt about whether or not respect is conducive with satanic philosophy, because it's very much our own golden rule of do unto others as they do unto you. What do you guys think?
Give them the respect that they've deserved. That's how respect, that's how you get respect and give respect.
There is a notion in the military, obviously, you respect the rank, not the person. But I still think that that applies. If you have a commander or a supervisor who is a piece of shit human being, we still stand at attention for that officer or stand at parade rest for that NCO. We respect the rank, even if we don't respect the person themselves. That goes back to loyalty and duty and responsibility to the responsible. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely like that the Army specifically worded respect as treat people as they should be treated. Not as you would like to be treated, but as they should be treated. And that leaves the door open for if someone is an absolute twat waffle, they can be treated with the exact amount of respect that they deserve.
The way it should be. The only people who get respect are the ones who earn it.
Number four, and this is the other one I thought there might be some hang-ups on, and it's going to take some explanation, I think, to get around how this applies or can apply within Satanism, or whether Satanism is compatible with it. Selfless service. The definition, according to the Army values of selfless service, is put the welfare of the nation, the Army, and your subordinates before your own. I get it. Surface level reading, that kind of sounds incompatible with Satanism, yeah? We're a selfish religion, not a selfless religion. However, I already mentioned responsibility to the responsible. You signed up for this. So there's that aspect. That's kind of a cheesy get out of jail free card, right? To explain selfless service. I think that there is a mentality that must go in to approaching a notion such as selfless service, and that mentality has to be situational. Magister Campbell, who you'll hear from later, has often said that when he enlisted in the Army, he was not patriotic. He did not do it out of patriotism. He didn't do it for flag waving bullshit. He did it essentially for college money. And there's nothing wrong with that, but while he was in the military, while we were all in the military, the selfish bastards that we are, while we were in the military, there are times where you set yourself aside for these other things, such as the welfare of the nation, the Army, and your subordinates, to accomplish the mission. Selfishness is excellent as long as it's rational self-interest. But in the middle of a firefight, rational self-interest is your whole squad surviving the firefight so you can take it to the enemy and come back home safe. In that regard, the selfless action is actually the selfish action. You guys following? You agree?
I'm tracking.
I say it's good logic.
Do you guys have any thoughts on selfless service and how that may or may not apply to Satanism?
We've had this discussion way back in the beginning, how there's complete incompatibility, military and Satanism. And I've heard this conversation go 100 different ways. And I remember my first interview with the IL, and it asked why I joined the military. I joined it for a paycheck, you know, very selfish reason. I was getting married, going to have a kid on the way. I needed the guaranteed money. But while I was at boot camp, while I was in the military, you don't ever have to set your selfishness aside. But you also, like you said, you also have to think about the whole unit, because you guys are now one team. You're not taught to be a single person in the military. So it's hard to explain to civilians, but I mean, only people who've been to boot camp and people who've been in the military are going to understand the camaraderie that is there, you know, so that, you know, while I didn't face any combat, and I know the two of you did, ability to survive and to live, which is the most important thing in the world to a Satanist, is their life. You know, in order to maintain your life, you have to rely on these other people who are relying on you, because you put your name on that dotted line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one of the key lines in the Army definition is putting the welfare of your subordinates before your own. Now, I was an NCO for a very brief time before I got out. But Dwayne, you retired as an E7, so you were, at some point, I'm assuming you were a platoon sergeant. So as an NCO, when you have subordinates, you have to put their needs above your own, because having people in your squad or section, as we called it in artillery, who are essentially little children, basically, who need that strong father figure, it's a lot of work, right? And you'll often hear from, even from Satanists, that they don't have children because it's they have to set aside their selfishness to take care of children. And that's a completely reasonable and satanic response to that idea. There are obviously many of us, the three sitting here, who have decided to breed and raise up kids.
More selfish than releasing more little versions of me out there.
Right.
Right.
So it's the action itself. You may have to have a sleepless night to take care of your Joe because he had some issues. Maybe his wife threw him out. You got to get him set up in the barracks. Speaking from experience, that's one I had to deal with. or any number of things that your Joe is going through that you have to take care of. And yes, in the moment, you have to be selfless about it because you've got to essentially take care of this child who needs your help. But in the long run, like I've said this whole time, like Rick reiterated, it is a selfish action. Because you're improving the quality of your squad, of your section. You're making it stronger. You're improving the cohesion and the morale and making sure that when you enter the firefight, everyone is on the same page and everyone is ready to hit the ground running. So ultimately, no, I do not think that selfless service in the terms of the Army values is incompatible with Satanism. I think it's just good common sense.
Agreed.
I can remember one morning at Fort Jackson, South Carolina that Sergeant Burns is being woke up by one of his young privates. Had been out all night. He went to finance, got some money, went out to the titty bar, and then had him had the cab driver take a woman of the night. Well, the way he described it, in performing some of her actions, she was able to get into his wallet, take everything out of his wallet monetarily, put his wallet back, and not even leave the room.
Sounds like he suffered the Singapore sling.
I'm in love.
Singapore sling. The ding-a-ling. She totally ripped him off, and she's like, she wanted to be paid, too. Well, he didn't have any money to pay her, so she was bitching. I mean, you know, he knew he'd been ripped off. He just couldn't do nothing about it.
So she stole his money and then insisted that he pay her.
then called the cab to get him out of there because she wanted him off the property. So she called him a cab with no money and shared the cab with him till they almost got to the front gate. And then she did a dash, got it out of the vehicle and ran. He had to come in to me and ask me for money for the cab. So it's one of those taking care of them also.
Well, right, because at the end of the day, if you don't take care of that, he's going to get hemmed up, probably
gets brought into
law enforcement. Yeah, command's going to come into it. He's going to be bumped down in rank and do, probably 30 days extra duty and loss of pay and whatnot. And that's going to reflect negatively on your NCOER. Now, granted, when you're waking up in the middle of the night to take care of that, you're not thinking about your NCOER, but at the end of the day, taking care of your squad is taking care of yourself. It's a selfish action, even if it's being lived out as selfless service. So I think that's a great example.
Yep.
I'm selfish. Did you get her number?
No, I was the NCO. I wasn't the private involved.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You had to go a few years before that for Dwayne's prostitute stories.
Yeah, Dwayne's got his own stories of stupidity.
If you don't, you weren't in the military.
Right.
So number five, I don't think there's any, no real reason to discuss number five. Number five is honor, which they define as living up to all the Army values. By explaining these various values, it will explain honor. So I think honor's pretty well taken care of.
Cut and dry.
Yeah, honor's perfectly in keeping with satanic philosophy. Number six is integrity. Now, integrity, I don't think we're going to have many issues here. However, I do want to get into it because it uses a couple key words, which we Satanists have sometimes taken umbrage with. Integrity is defined as do what's right, legally and morally. Legally, we don't have any issues. As we've often said, the Church of Satan is a law and order organization. Satanism is a law and order philosophy. But the couple key words there are right and morally. Now, as Satanists, we accept the fact that right and wrong, good and evil, which also applies to morally, these are subjective things. Every person has their own codes that they live by. Every person has their own idea of what is right and what is wrong. In the Army, this goes back to signing your name on the dotted line. You are allowing for whatever you get out of it, whether it's a paycheck, like Rick said, whether it's a sense of patriotism, whether it's college money, like Magister Campbell, or any other reason that you did it, you're getting something in return. And in exchange for that, you are allowing for the time that you are serving the Army to determine what is right and moral for you. And this ties back into the selfless service and the respect issues. You have to, being responsible, taking responsibility for yourself and living up to your declared obligations, you have to now live under the Army's dictate of what is right and what is moral. And I don't think there's anything unsatanic about that. Now, for someone who doesn't join the Army and is a Satanist, they don't have to live by what the Army considers right and moral. And that's okay, too. For those of us who did enlist or take a commission, we have to live up to those ideas. And I don't think that that is in any way antithetical to satanic philosophy. What do you guys think?
There's nothing to really argue there. I mean, you put everything succinctly as far as with the military aspect of it. You know, the only thing that kind of popped into my mind is when you put your name on that dotted line, you start your way at the bottom and you know that everything comes from the top and everything rolls downhill. What's right, what is wrong, when to sleep, when to eat. I mean, this is all the stuff that is instilled to you from day one at boot camp. And into your duty stations and everything else. Here we go, duty again. It's one of the things that's ingrained into us, and that's why the well-oiled machine that we are in the U.S. military, tonight the Army we're talking about here, is because of, you know, the way that things are handed down and taught to us. You know, because we have to know that everybody shares the same values when we're out there trusting our life to them.
That's actually a really important concept as well. Satanism specifically, one of our sins is herd conformity. However, herd conformity does not bar conformity in general. There is a time and place, much like we Satanists select our own masters in our individual lives, when a Satanist enlists in the Army, they've chosen the Army to be their master for that time period. You must conform to Army standards. That's not herd conformity. That's your job.
That's not herd conformity at all.
Yeah, so that's a good point, Rick. The final one, I don't think anyone can say that this is not compatible with Satanism, and that is personal courage. Personal courage is defined as face fear, danger, or adversity, physical or moral. I mean, Satanism is at least in part a Nietzschean philosophy. Whatever doesn't kill us will only make us stronger. And you know when enlisting in the military that you're in for a hard time. Now, we're going to talk later in the episode specifically about martyrdom, but before we even get into that topic, just traveling across the country and showing up at a place to train for military service, knowing, because we've all seen the movies and the clips before we go do that, that it's going to be a hard time, that people are going to be yelling at us and making us do physical things. I don't think anyone ever says they came out of basic training or boot camp weaker than they went in. And it's necessary to go through that trial by fire in order to become stronger. It takes personal courage to get through that. And that's just your first step. That doesn't even count things that will come later in your career, all the trainings, all the deployments, actual combat. This is all just your first step through the door, the first time the lights come on. You have to have exhibit personal courage in order to get through it. And honestly, personal courage is a value that I wish more people outside of the military had, because it doesn't seem to be in high supply these days. So you guys have any thoughts on personal courage? Again, it's obviously compatible with Satanism, but...
It takes a level of courage that if you've never had that dotted line in front of you getting ready to sign, and your heart rate's going up, and you feel your temperature in your body, because you know what you're signing away. You know, the amount of courage it takes to do that, and as nervous as you are up there swearing in and going through everything else, yeah, we go through hell and we got yelled at and all kinds of other crap to get started. But you're right. Anybody who walked out of there saying that they were weaker didn't walk out. They washed out. Because when you go in as this unworked piece of steel, and when you come out, you're forged and you're sharpened and you're a hell of a lot better man than you were 60 or 90 days prior.
Yeah, well said.
Well said.
This episode is brought to you by the Warlock Emporium. The Warlock Emporium is creating bespoke items for the chosen few. The Warlock Emporium is the only authorized seller of items bearing the Warlock Sigil, created by Magister Dr. Robert Johnson, author of The Satanic Warlock. The Warlock Emporium is now offering a 15% military discount. Visit thewarlockemporium.com for more information.
So now that we've described the army values and how they are indeed compatible with the philosophy of Satanism, let's talk about a couple examples of people who don't live up to the army values. As there seems to be a new trend happening in our beloved Reserve Corps. First guy I want to talk about is one Sergeant Corbin Schultz. Corbin Schultz was a military intelligence analyst with the United States Army National Guard, who, over the course of several years, earned an additional $42,000 on the side, selling some of the secrets he had access to someone, an individual, an unnamed individual, who he believed lived in Hong Kong. Specifically, he was selling sensitive military documents related to the U.S. defense of Taiwan, weapon systems, and missile defense systems. And he believed he was selling them to China. He recently was arrested and charged with 6 counts, including conspiracy and bribery. He was a sergeant and intelligence analyst assigned to the 506th Infantry Battalion. And the Army said that he has been in the service since November of 2018. To throw your life away and face decades in prison. And that's the nice end. That's what he's getting, is decades in prison. You could be put to death for doing this. So to risk being put to death or decades in prison for $42,000 seems like a pretty fucking stupid move.
And that's a year's wages at most places. It's, it's pissing away your whole life for, you know, an average wage for a year.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be begging for the fire squad. I'm just fucking stupid. Take me out, please. I'll never survive prison.
It just doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Why? Why bother? For $42,000, I think that's the part that pisses me off the most. Now, granted, I idealistically speaking, I'm solely opposed to this. I think the guy's a piece of shit, obviously. I'm sure we'll get into that, especially as we talk about the next story as well. But, I mean, if you're going to do it, at least become a millionaire.
Yes, I get paid. He wasn't even smart enough to be in any branch, let alone the National Guard. You know, how did he even get in?
Right. Well, he got in and apparently made it all the way up to sergeant.
As I say, I mean, he had a solid career there.
And I believe, now I've seen pictures of this guy online. I believe that either his father or his grandfather was a Vietnam veteran as well. So he comes from a line of the military.
Good grief.
Talk about not having the army values in your corps.
He doesn't have any values even for himself. Let me sell my soul for $42,000.
Dwayne, what do you think about it, man?
for $42,000. I'm shaking my head at it.
I hope his butthole was worth $42,000 because he's about to lose it.
And just to be clear, we're all, you know, I guess you could say morally opposed to what he did as well, but $42,000.
I sold a car for more than that.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
And it was used.
So, hey, while we're talking about him, let's talk about his buddy. His buddy, Jack Teixeira. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. It doesn't matter. He's a piece of shit, too. Jack Teixeira was an Air Force National Guardsman in Massachusetts who pleaded guilty in a federal court in Boston for leaking highly classified military documents about Russia's war in Ukraine and other national security secrets to a contact he believed was working for Russia. I don't know how much money old Jack here got for it, but I'm guessing not enough. He is now, he's pled guilty as part of a plea agreement.
Was it more than
$42,000? I don't know. He took a plea agreement. He's going to get 11 to 16 years in prison, depending on what the judge says during his sentencing. Obviously, he's going to be reduced all the way down to rank, and upon release from prison, he'll have a dishonorable discharge. There is something going on, right? Like, this is weird. We've got two National Guardsmen from two different states, from two different branches of the National Guard, selling secrets to Russia and China. Now, Jack Teixeira, just real quick mention that he claimed in an interview that he wanted to be like Jason Bourne. So I'm not even sure he got paid anything for this. He may have just done it for the fun of it. But how are these fucking idiots getting a TSSCI clearance and access to this information when they are clearly not up to snuff? Terribly going wrong.
We're watching one of those cop shows I like on TV. Then we're going to find out that Tex Arcana or whatever his name is was the ringleader of all of this, who played even more stupid so he could get the sweet deal. While his buddy down there, the sergeant, got burned for the whole damn thing. And
that's a distinct possibility. Yeah. Jack, what did you call him, Rick? Tex Arcana? He sold his secrets. I don't think he sold them, actually, because the wording in his plea agreement says that he shared the military documents with other users on Discord. Which,
so he's just like our U.S. government.
So I'm not sure that he got paid anything. He just wanted to be like Jason Bourne. So he gave a bunch of gamers on Discord a bunch of military secrets, which is, I don't know, somehow worse than getting $42,000 to lose your life.
Well, don't be like Jason Bourne. You have to be in Europe to start your shit.
You let me be an admin on the channel. I'm happy. I'll give you all my secrets.
Right. That's the illusion of online power in exchange for military secrets.
You know, I don't know how these people are so dumb that they trust the other end of a computer. So I don't even trust my own bank when I'm on their website.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that's obviously not being said out loud, but I think if you read any of the articles about these two individuals, you can kind of read between the lines that, much like, you know, pedophiles who end up on Chris Hansen's show, these guys were not talking to handlers from foreign intelligence agencies. They were talking to our own counterintelligence agencies.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they got caught. That's how they got. Now, again, that's only, I'm just saying that based on reading between the lines. I have no evidence of that. And of course, they'll never admit to it. But it seems pretty clear that they were taken in a sting by counterintel.
And Chris was sitting there going, come on in, have a seat. Have a seat.
So both of these guys are intelligence analysts. Both of these guys have top secret SCI clearances, and they're not smart enough to sniff out a counterintel agent trying to get secrets out of them. I mean,
well, they probably also go to the titties bar and actually believe that girl loves him.
Oh, it's absolutely fucking nuts. It's crazy. Obviously, these guys, neither of these guys are examples of living by the Army values. They're examples of what can go terribly wrong when you don't live by the Army values.
And at least get fucking paid if you're going to be an idiot.
Jeez. Right, and if you're going to be an idiot, at least get some money and maybe bank it somewhere they can't touch it so you're set when you get out.
$46,000.
I don't support what they did, but at least try to get fucking paid.
Ridiculous. All right, gentlemen, let's take a quick break and hear some messages from Radio Free Satan. And when we come back after the break, Magister Adam Campbell will be giving us his latest installment of The Tower. And then on the back end, we're going to talk about martyrdom. Stay tuned right here on the official Infernal Legion podcast.
Well, man, it is now official.
The Shake Higgin Road Show, the finest in rockabilly, psychobilly, vintage country, swamp rock, surf rock, doo-wop, this potpourri of madness. The Shake Higgin Road Show, Radio Free, goddamn Satan, I'm Clint Mephisto, coming at you from the Double Cross Ranch. Booze in one hand, microphone on the other, Swamp Thing on the telly, and the good tunes in front of me here at the computer. The Shit Kicking Road Show, Radio Free Satan.
Damn! You will excuse me, won't you? Well, thank you very much.
Welcome to the Metro. Your host, Reverend Jeff Ivins, brings you a weekly time trip back to the 1980s with songs from the decade of decadence, only on Radio Free Satan. Hail Satan.
I'm tired of listening to you talking around, twisting around to make me think you're straight down the line. How you doing,
Why start your mornings early when you can sleep in late and wake up later to a freshly brewed cup of Radio Free Satan? Radio Free Satan is infernally roasted with a complex taste to suit your indulgence. It's sinful. That's why it tastes great. So pour yourself another helping of this podcast and others at RadioFreeSatan.com.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us. For we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might!
Hail Satan, full of might!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Cursed are they!
Cursed are they!
The God adorers!
The God adorers!
And cursed are the worshippers!
And cursed are the worshippers!
Of the Nazarene eunuch!
Of the Nazarene eunuch!
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Coming! Halt! Live! Hey! At ease! Listen up, soldiers. While we're out here, you will be taking all commands from the tower. And I am the tower! Do you understand?
Yes, Sergeant!
Welcome to the tower, your dose of military news delivered with an infernal edge. My name is Magister Campbell, and today we are discussing Trump's rebuilding the military record. This is the article, "Trump Didn't Rebuild the Military," by the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, posted February 22, 2024. Nikki Haley is vowing to keep contesting Donald Trump and warning voters about his weaknesses. Here's an underappreciated vulnerability for the 45th president: his failure to rebuild a U.S. military prepared for the world's compounding dangers. One of Mr. Trump's stock applause lines is that he rebuilt the military while in the White House, and the point is popular even with Republican voters who don't support U.S. deployments overseas. Quote, "My administration has embarked on a colossal rebuilding of the U.S. armed forces, a record like no other," Mr. Trump said at West Point in 2020. Mr. Trump did increase the defense budget during his 4 years in office by roughly $225 billion, according to defense analyst Mackenzie Eaglin. The U.S. military in 2017 was reeling from years of budget cuts under Barack Obama that had savaged readiness. That year, far more service members died in training accidents than did in combat. Of the new money in Mr. Trump's fiscal 2019 budget request for the Pentagon, nearly 90% flowed to personnel, operations, and maintenance accounts. Mr. Trump deserves credit for digging out of that hole. But the money was a blip. U.S. defense spending under Mr. Trump topped out at 3.4% of the economy in 2020, up from 3.1% in 2017, even though America devoted 4.6% to military spending as recently as 2011. Compare that with 6% that President Ronald Reagan spent in 1986 while rebuilding a 600-ship Navy to win the Cold War. The U.S. is now heading south of 3% of GDP on defense, and interest payments on the national debt will soon surpass Pentagon spending. Mr. Trump ran in 2016 on building a 350-ship Navy and expanding the Army to 540,000 soldiers. The world, from the Pacific to Europe, would be safer if he had followed through. He hired good advisors, but often spent his political capital wading into the culture war defense controversies of the day. The Trump administration didn't release a detailed plan to grow the naval fleet until December 2020, after Mr. Trump had lost his bid for re-election. In 2021, the Navy had 294 ships. The U.S. Army is now the smallest since 1940. Mr. Trump's Air Force Secretary Heather Wilson produced a plan to expand the force to 386 squadrons from 312. But it wasn't a presidential priority and went nowhere. Mr. Trump says that because of President Biden's support for Ukraine, the arsenals are empty, the stockpiles are bare, as he said last year. Yet if Mr. Trump had accomplished the military rebuild he claims, would the U.S. be straining to produce enough missiles and ammunition for both Ukraine and Israel? His budgets did little to rebuild the defense industrial base or restore long-term contracts for steady weapons procurement. Voters remember a calmer world under Mr. Trump, and he can claim credit for degrading ISIS. But he tweeted while in office that U.S. defense spending was crazy, even as he purports to support peace through strength. Some of Mr. Trump's current budget advisors want to reduce defense spending in the name of fiscal restraint, though they won't touch the giant entitlements that are the real spending problem. Mr. Biden, for his part, has proposed budgets each year that cut military spending after inflation. But Mr. Trump shares blame for the fact that the U.S. military is overstretched by the world's demands. A cause worth a presidential candidate would be rebuilding the armed forces and restoring what Reagan called Americans' margin of safety. But neither party's leading candidate is making the case. All right, here's my thoughts on this. Why do we need a bigger military? Why do we somehow still have this insane Cold War mentality that having boots on the ground somehow equates power? We are not in the 1980s world anymore, and we haven't been for quite a few years. This is ridiculous. The entire angle of this article frustrates me to no end. It suggests that we need even more spending, even though Trump raised the budget by $225 billion. That's with a B, people. If we can't have enough soldiers, munitions, equipment, etc., with $2.25 billion more than the previous year's budget, which has exponentially grown every single year since their, you know, hands in the air, jazz hands favorite president in the world, Ronald Reagan. We'll never have enough money. We'll never have enough troops. And primarily it's because we can't account for where the money is going. The Defense Department fails their audits. If you can't even tell where money's going, how do we know it's actually going to where it's supposed to? The bitter irony is that the commander-in-chief, the person who's supposed to be in charge of the military, they have little to no understanding about the military. They weren't even in it most of the time. It doesn't make any sense at all that we would have someone in charge of our military that doesn't know anything about the military, has zero oversight about where the money is actually being funneled to, and the Department of Defense, which is supposed to distribute said money, fails their audits every goddamn year. So yeah, let's just keep throwing more and more billions of dollars at the problem and still falling short of the commitments. Or alternatively, we could have fewer commitments. I would make the argument that, and I'm about to, that we need a smaller, yes, even smaller than now, more agile military, not a larger one. We don't need more ships. We need better technology in the ships that we have. We spent billions of dollars developing a jet that the military didn't even want. We can't even keep ships in the air, it seems, on our commercial side. And yet we're still focused on Cold War equipment? And we have editorial boards like the Wall Street Journal doing their best to argue for more 80s era technology. Because that's what's going to win in today's war. 80s technology. Look, just because we have bronze-aged ideal wars happening right now between Israel and Palestine does not mean we need to revert to bronze-age mentality. Numbers do not equate readiness or strength. Intel does. So why don't we focus on intel over quantity of force? That, in my estimation, seems to be a winning tactic. And if I recall correctly, the idea that fewer soldiers dying in war compared to training does not mean that more training deaths occur. It means less wartime deaths occur. So, arguably, the amount of training deaths may have stayed the exact same. It's just that under Barack Obama's presidency, we had fewer military deaths. That's a good thing! Why does this editorial board want more deaths? That doesn't make any sense at all. There should be fewer deaths in wartime because we're using advanced technology, advanced intel, advanced communication techniques, and advanced tactics against our enemies. Not throwing shit at a wall and watching it stick, hoping that it stays on the wall. It's almost as if they're monkeys in a cage and they think their shit somehow wins wars, when all it really does is rile up people who have served the country, knowing that these assholes never will. They will never be put in a position to have to make difficult choices over the death or the lives of soldiers or the civilians they're supposed to be protecting. Okay, so how about this? Defense spending is up year after year unfailingly, but we can't seem to keep up with caring and protecting the world. So why should we? Why are we using American lives to protect and fight for the rest of the world? What is this, like some global unity of peace across the world that we're trying to procure? We overthrow governments. We are the cause of many problems around this globe. Why should we spend our munitions to protect people like Ukraine, for example, or to support people like Israel, for example? Let's look at it. Israel is committing genocide right now with our tax dollars on the Palestinians. They have refused the idea that there will ever be a Palestinian state, and they are continuing to murder innocent women and children. And who is supplying them? We are. Who is Israel insisting pays for reconstruction? Us. That's right. America. So Israel uses our bombs to destroy an area, and then they tell us to rebuild that area so that they can occupy the area. What the fuck? Have you lost your goddamn minds? I don't know anyone that is worth that, let alone Israel, Zionist fucking insane fascists who are committing genocide against a people who have no options in life. They are literally fighting and stealing for survival because they're starving to death because of what the Israelis have done. But yeah, let's continue to send our money that way and put our support that way. And what about Ukraine and Russia? Look, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, and I don't like saying it, but it's already written on the wall. Ukraine does not want to be told how to use their munitions or their troops. They have refused listening to our suggestions, the people they're getting their fucking weapons from, by the way, on how to win this war against Russia. So they continue to take from us while ignoring us wholeheartedly and then asking for more from us. And what do? We continue giving them more. We need to stop. Look, I don't like the idea of Russia rebuilding the USSR. I think it's worthless. It's pointless. They can't even support their own population, let alone another country's population. But it's written on the fucking wall. You could not get more pro-Russia as Ukrainians as you are right now. Yes, you're fighting them in combat, but when given a winning strategy, you refuse it. So what exactly is your plan? To continue dying until there's no one left to defend your shit country? Meanwhile, we're still funneling money and equipment and ammunitions over there, degrading, yes, Trump is right about this, our own military readiness. So what the fuck? Now, Trump did not support this because he did not build up the military as he is claiming that he did. Because he doesn't have any more oversight than he does over what he's going to have for fucking dinner, the dumbass. But we as the American populace can make demands on our leaders. We can. And we're coming up on an election year. So how about we use our brains for a second, not our emotional reactions, stop demonizing the other side, whichever side that may be, depending on your political stance, and just evaluate. Where do our politicians want our money to be spent? Is it overseas or is it at home? And I would make the argument, which I'm making, that if it's overseas, we don't re-elect or elect them. If it's at home, we elect them or re-elect them. We need to focus at home, at our own defense, at our own prosperity, not on those on the other sides of a goddamn globe that are committing genocide or are inevitably ignoring us after we give them all of our goddamn gear. We cannot keep this up. It doesn't matter who is in command of the armed forces. We cannot keep this up, and we have to do something about it. The only thing that we civilians can do is vote. So please, for the lives of your brothers and sisters, your fathers, your daughters, your sons, and your mothers, vote for someone that is going to focus on America and not global controversy and genocide. It's not short-sighted. It is the only rational way of using the power of your vote. Russia will take Ukraine. It's happening. Israel will be found in the global court as committing genocide because they are. And we have helped on both fronts for no reason. Our tax dollars are supporting it. Our soldiers are supporting it. And it doesn't matter if it's Biden or Trump or anyone else in the office. If they're not going to support our troops, no one will. If we can't even tell where our current amount of money is going, it doesn't make sense if we're going to increase the spending budget by 200 more billion. The money's not going where it needs to go. We need a smaller force, not a greater one. We have fewer civilians willing to enlist or re-enlist. We have more world conflicts where we had better stop thinking about force numbers instead of why we're supporting these wars in the first place. We need to reevaluate this entire goddamn thing and stop referencing back to the 1940s or the 1980s, because the world is not the 1940s or the 1980s. We are in the goddamn future right now. This is 2024, elections coming in 2025, and we're just going to sit here and pretend that we can still use the same 1980s mentality? Does anyone here remember the 80s? How many of you listening to this were born even before the 80s? Because it wasn't that great. And it wasn't that fucking prosperous as we seem to reflect fondly on it as being. In fact, it was pretty goddamn terrible. So how about we just focus on where we actually are and not in some fantastical view of where we once might have been if we just ignored reality for a second? Anyway, that's how I see it.
All right, soldiers, that's all I have for you today. Comedy! I can hoot! Haul out!
This episode is brought to you by Underworld Amusements. Since 2007, Underworld Amusements has been creating, producing, publishing, and distributing Curious Sundries and Callous Broadsides. From the Satanic Scriptures by Magus Peter H. Gilmore to Might is Right, the authoritative edition by Ragnar Redbeard, Underworld Amusements is your source for the most dangerous books ever written. Visit underworldamusements.com for more information.
Welcome back to the official Infernal Legion podcast. Once again, thank you to Magister Campbell for the tower. It's a wonderful segment. I highly recommend everyone listen to it. Gentlemen, we're gonna get into a very weird event that occurred just a little bit ago. And to be completely honest with our listening audience, I wasn't sure I even wanted to talk about it. But after some conversations with my fellow officers here and some other friends, I felt that we need to talk about it. So we're going to. And that is the self-immolation of Aaron Bushnell. If you've been living under a rock and don't know what happened, Aaron Bushnell was an airman who live-streamed setting himself on fire in front of the Israeli embassy in order to protest the Israeli-Palestinian war. Livestreamed it on Twitch, had a whole paragraph-long spiel about his thoughts on the Israel-Palestine conflict, and said that he will, quote, no longer be complicit in genocide, before covering himself in a flammable liquid and lighting himself on fire. So I don't want to get all in the story. That's the gist of the story. That's what happened. But I do want to talk about, first and foremost, he's an airman. He was an active member of the United States Air Force. So that's why he applies to this show. And in discussing this, I want to discuss how it relates to satanic philosophy, which I guess is the overriding theme of today's episode, is how these things relate to Satanism. Before I get into my personal feelings on the subject, I just want to real quick read a paragraph from the Satanic Bible by Anton Zandor LaVey, and then we can kind of discuss how we feel about this. This is from the chapter Life After Death Through Fulfillment of the Ego. History shows that men who have given their own lives in pursuit of an ideal have been deified for their martyrdom. Religionists and political leaders have been very crafty in laying their plans. By holding the martyr up as a shining example to his fellow men, they eliminate the common sense reaction that willful self-destruction goes against all animal logic. To the Satanist, martyrdom and non-personalized heroism is to be associated not with integrity, but with stupidity. This, of course, does not apply to the situations which involve the safety of a loved one. But to give one's own life for something as impersonal as a political or religious issue is the ultimate in masochism. I think that sums up how I feel about this pretty well. Satanists do not uplift martyrdom as some kind of heroic action. We think it's a stupid action. Or, as the doctor said elsewhere, a waste of good masochism that could be applied much better to your love life than to something like this. And a further thought that occurs to me is, what's the fucking point? This individual, Bushnell, went up and made this grand spectacle, live streamed himself, covered himself in, I'm assuming, gasoline. They didn't say what the liquid was, but I'm assuming gasoline, lit himself on fire, and to his credit, continued screaming Free Palestine while he died a horrible, horrible death. So there is some nerves of steel happening in there, and I won't take that away from it. But did he change anything? No. Within an hour, he was a meme in veterans groups. It was a laughing stock amongst his own kind. He didn't affect anybody's views on the Israel-Palestine conflict.
He sure showed the shit out of them.
Right.
But you're right. My hat's off to him. As a burn victim survivor, that shit fucking hurts. I don't even want to imagine what he was going through when it wasn't being put out.
So yeah, I can't take away that it definitely took some balls of steel to maintain your convictions while on fire.
But other than that, he's a fucking idiot.
But it's sheer stupidity.
$42,000?
Maybe he did get paid for this.
That's a whole other level of stupid there if you accept the payment.
I recently was a guest on the Devil Salon podcast, and this idea came up about this situation, what happened. And I find it so incredibly stupid to think that you, as an airman, have any sway whatsoever with what the government is going to do in Israel or in Palestine. It's ridiculous. My advice to anyone, unsolicited otherwise, is worry about your fucking self. Fix yourself. Take the time. If you really care about these political issues, become a politician. If you really care about the way things are happening overseas, then put your head down, grunt through it, get some rank until you're in a position to make decisions in your unit. Setting yourself on fire isn't going to solve anything. And as we just saw with Bushnell, like I said, within an hour, he was nothing but a meme. No soldier was convinced not to go to Israel if they're ordered to. No politician said, oh, man, we fucked up. We should stop sending aid. It didn't happen. It's absolutely useless martyrdom. But, Jeff, what about dying for your country in combat, I hear people say? It is not the same thing. We've said this before, and I'll say it again until I'm blue in the face. We do not go into combat to die for our country. We go into combat to fight for the men and women to the left and right of us. If we die in the process, that fucking sucks, and our brothers and sisters will remember us. We're not martyrs. We're going into fight, not to die for an ideal. Anyway, I apologize, Rick. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that in the military, and I'm not saying we're heartless, but, you know, oh, sir, we had an airman die. How'd he die? Well, he lit himself on fire. Well, it sounds like he's a fucking idiot. Let's get to something more important. You know, right. You can tell me the details on that one later when we're not actually doing something. This guy, he got his, 15 minutes of fame on Twitch, and then he won't even be fucking remembered next week.
And I haven't seen the Twitch stream itself. I've seen the video, but I haven't seen the actual stream on Twitch. But I know Twitch well enough to know that people were probably making fun of him while he was doing it.
Oh, yeah. Twitch is vicious.
This is absolutely not a case where he was changing anybody's mind.
I wonder how many times he got called a noob during that.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And martyrdom itself, I read the paragraph from the Satanic Bible. Martyrdom itself is such a stupid concept. And anyone who uplifts martyrs and says, look, these are examples of the way to be, they're selling you a load of shit. They're absolutely selling you a pie-in-the-sky ideal.
Why I laugh at most movies when that word comes up. You're just going to make a martyr of yourself. No, I'm not. Yeah, it's like, fuck martyrs. Just go run into battle and die, you dumb son of a bitch. It's like, yeah, hold on, I can wait here. I'm not a coward or anything, but this sounds stupid if I know I'm going to die.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problem attributing heroism to someone who falls in combat tangentially to the idea that they were in combat. Obviously, every Memorial Day, we read a list of the name of the fallen. Those men and women mean the world to us, and many of them we do consider our heroes, but not because of their death, because of their life, because of their nobility and their personal courage, going back to the army values, in fighting and then mourning the fact that they died in result of fighting. Fighting is necessary. Fighting is natural. Fighting is something we can never escape as long as we live.
Human nature.
But dying for an impersonal idea is just sheer stupidity. Bushnell needed to find himself a hot-looking dominatrix to beat him up a little bit, and he would have lived a much happier life.
Do you still have her number, Dwayne?
Yeah, where's the prostitute? Yeah, I really thought to talk about this that I was going to have so much more to say, but it's just stupid. It's absolutely fucking stupid.
That's all you can do is just like, you know, there's not going to be anybody saying do 10 Bushnells and you'll be fine for the week or whatever. You know,
do 10 Hail Bushnells and spin around in a circle.
You know, like we're proving this guy is, well, he's a joke.
Yeah.
That's all he ended up being.
I will not be adding Bushnell's name to our list of the fallen. And I, after this conversation, am probably never going to think of him again.
But fuck markers.
We'll be back in about a week or so with an interview with one of our newest wicked warriors of the Infernal Empire. So stay tuned for that right here on the official Infernal Legion podcast. And until next time, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
There is a new veteran crisis hotline number. If you or a veteran you know are experiencing a crisis, please dial 988 and press 1. Once again, that is 988 and press 1 when prompted.